into Christ-likeness, and it begins with that conversion experience, doesn't it? So we will be praying for the Wei and the Hans and all those who God brings into contact with your love, for we know that he'll bring them into contact with Jesus Christ, who dwells within you. We praise the Lord for that. You know, one of the ways that the Lord has given to us collectively as a church to worship and praise him is certainly through our gathering like this morning, but also in the evening service as we practice the ordinance of communion that the Lord himself has established. He established two ordinances, didn't he? One is communion. What is the other one? Baptism, believer's baptism. And we had a believer's baptism not too long ago. We'd like to, if you haven't been baptized as a born-again believer, and you would like to enter into the waters of baptism in obedience to Christ, and in your joy in the Lord and your salvation, as you know, we're having a church family picnic. Don't you love picnics? I do. You know, one of the things many things I appreciate of our church family here in South Mountain, one of them is that we love to eat. I do too. And we love picnics. And so we're having a church family picnic, and it's going to be August 28th, so mark that down. But, you know, that would also be a great place at Teeter Camp to have a believer's baptism service as well. So if you've not been baptized as a born-again believer, and you've been thinking about that and praying about that, would you see me after the service today or between now and August so we can maybe sit down and we talk about baptism? Also, this evening, as you know, and we're going to have what? Communion, right. We're doing that because we didn't get it into the bulletin as we should have. It was my mistake. So the men are covering for me, and we want to be sure that everyone comes out to celebrate. It is a celebration of Christ. We went through the book of Ruth, and it's celebrating the fact that we have come to know our kinsman redeemer. We have come to love him because he first loved us. Amen? Yeah. And one of the ways we express that love is just celebrating what Christ invites us to together with him. And so to that end, we want to encourage all born-again believers to be here this evening at 7 o'clock as we celebrate the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper. We also want to encourage you in our own heart's preparation. I'm sure you do the same thing I do. I really seek the Lord's direction in my own heart before I enter into communion. I think it's important, first of all, because it's an ordinance established by the Lord for the church to participate and practice and enjoy. But also it's an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to do a very special thing, too, in the life of the church. So that takes, if you will, a certain heart preparation. We're not talking about the law, we're not talking about legalism, but our hearts before the Lord. And that's important. So I'd like to encourage you to read Isaiah chapter 53. That will be incorporated into our communion service this evening. So sometime today, as you seek to prepare your own heart, as together we gather around the Lord's table this evening, you might want to read Isaiah chapter 53 and also Ephesians chapter 1. Two chapters. They're great chapters. They really are. So we want to do that. Also, you know, the Lord has graciously given us many ways to worship, to praise, to glorify him. In sharing the gospel with our family, our loved ones, our friends, people that the Lord brings us into contact with, mission purpose of the church. We are a missional church. We really are. And it's our heart's desire as we love and honor the Lord to share the gospel of Christ with others. There's many other ways too within the body of Christ that we have to worship and to praise and to glorify the Lord. And one of those ways is serving. Serving him and serving one another. And so this morning, as an act of our worship to the Lord, because he's the one who enables us to serve him and to serve each other. And so it's an acknowledgement that he is the head of the church, and he gives that equipping through his grace and the work of his Holy Spirit. And so this morning we're going to have an installation and dedication service of our new officers and leaders and servants in the church. But before we have those who are going to be installed and dedicated this morning, I would be remiss as your brother in Christ, as part of the body of Christ together with you, and certainly as your pastor, if I didn't recognize And together we recognize those who are serving right now. We have many in our church family that are serving, serving the Lord and serving his body. And so we'd like to, at this time, as I read the names of those who are actively serving right now, I'd like for you, if you're here this morning, if you'd stand up and just remain standing so we can at least acknowledge and recognize and appreciate your service. John Rodriguez. Oh, I forgot. Yeah, I keep telling you, I've got a good forgetter. It's getting better all the time. You know that Eunice and John have a great ministry of opportunity and outreach. And they're in the Sunday school in the woods down below. And Eunice had that Sunday school opportunity for the gospel last week. And John has it this week. Isn't that great? And they're asking if there's any others in our church family who would like to help out in the ensuing Sundays. What an opportunity. So we recognize John and Eunice as not only serving this morning in a Sunday school outreach for the gospel down below, but also ministering within the body of Christ. Also, we have Earl Richter. Earl, would you stand, please? Dan Snyder. Dan has not been feeling well. Of course, he's still recovering. Steve Snyder. Okay. And for these gentlemen are elders, and they serve with integrity. And we praise the Lord for each of them. And please, as you continue to remain standing, Doug Baker. Doug is one of our deacons. Dan Johnson. Dan is also one of our deacons. And these men, too, serve with integrity as they rely on the Lord to enable them to serve the body of Christ here. We'd also like to ask Wendell Hollinger. Wendell and Troy Fortney. And Nelson Kaufman. Nelson, I see you leaving. All right. And Nelson, well, these men are part of the property committee. We would call them stewards, if you will, or trustees, and we praise the Lord for each and every one of them. But also we have Treasurer Robin Snyder, and we also have Eunice Rodriguez, and we also have, as the part of the missions committee, the leadership there, Julie Sox and Robin Ammon. Would you please stand, ladies? Robin Ammon and Julie Sox. Great. Well, we praise the Lord. And we have many others that I'll be reading off, but we want to just give you a round of appreciation as we thank the Lord for you. I mean that. And we thank the Lord that you are serving with a Christ-centeredness of your hearts before God and for God's people. So thank you. Thank you for your service. We also want to recognize there are what we call action plan leaders. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't others serving on these plans of ministry and mission outreach. But let me just read those who are serving as action plan leaders. For the daycare, we have Robin Kirby. For the Good News Club, we have Robin Amon. For the junior church, we have Michelle Baranowski. For Hope.com, I love that, don't you? www.hope.com. That's Irene Minnick. Irene has been faithful together with Kate, ministering to the children on the mountain, and Irene and Kate come out to the Friday fun nights as well. And we praise the Lord for them. And we also have for the ladies' Bible study, Pat Wagaman, and then also for the library, Colleen DeLauter. And for the nursery, we have Deborah Draper. We also have for the outreach, Kathy Fortney. And for the Shine ministry, again, Michelle Baranowski. The Shine had a great time. We're going to be hearing some great things of what God, our great God, and the great gospel of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has done in the Philadelphia area. We'll be hearing more about that in the weeks to come. Sunday school, again, John Rodriguez as a Sunday school superintendent. And for the toddler church, Michelle Baranowski, together with Steve, work on that. And Vacation Bible School, Robin Kirby. And then we have youth group, Dan and Robin Snyder. And also for our church custodian, Steve Kirby. Now, again, these are those who are leaders in the action plan ministries and outreach. But we realize that many other in our body, many of you, if not all of you, are serving in one measure, in a certain capacity. We praise the Lord for that. Some are, if you see the grounds and the flowers, the new flower bed by the sign, and taking care of the grounds here and there. And we praise the Lord. That is also serving the Lord for his glory. And so we have many and doing things behind the scenes. And we would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge all of you who are serving the Lord. Because you know it's important? It really is. Because let me just read a couple of passages from the Word of God with regard to service. So we have a biblical context for what we're going to be doing in just a few minutes. It's always nice to see what God has instructed us in His Word to do, and it's so important that His people follow His Word. You know the passage in Ephesians. I'd like to invite you to turn there to Ephesians chapter 2. This is not the scripture reading yet, Wendell. We'll be having that shortly. The scripture reading shortly follows, but if you have your own Bible, or the Pew Bible, to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Because, you know, the Lord is not only concerned about our salvation, the salvation of sinners to come to know His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, but our Heavenly Father is also really interested in our service to Him and our service to others, as well as the stewardship of the graces that He gives to us. And so in Ephesians chapter 2, in verses 8 through 10, a very familiar passage, I know, to all of us here, it talks about salvation, but also talks about service, doesn't it? Verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. That is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." That's service. That's service. That's ministry, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And that's faithful service. Not just a hit or miss thing, okay? Faithful service. And then, of course, we have not only the fact that God delights in the service of His people within the body of Christ, but we also realize that He equips us for that service, doesn't He? So if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. Again, it's all about the Lord. It's not about any one of us or any of us altogether. It's really about the Lord. And so we have in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. Again, a wonderful passage that shows us the importance of service in the body of Christ. It's so important that God equips us and empowers us and enables us to do that to His glory, to be sure. Now there are, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, verses 4 through 6. Now there are a variety of gifts. He's talking about spiritual gifts for ministry and for mission, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Again, it underscores the great value and the importance to our Heavenly Father and to our Lord, who is the head of the church, of this assembly, the importance of serving and ministering. And then again, if you'll come back to Ephesians chapter 4. I have come to realize more and more the truth of the matter is I will not mature in Christ, nor will you mature in Christ unless we're actively functioning within the body of Christ. That's God's intention. There are no lone wolves, if you will, doing it on their own. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, which gives us a blueprint for the body of Christ, the church, I just want to take your attention to verse 16. Verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 4. I'm talking about the Lord establishing His body, the church. "For whom the whole body," meaning the church, "joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." Don't you love that verse? That's one of the commitments, one of the five commitments of an Ephesians 4 church. And that is that we serve the Lord and we serve each other. But he's saying here that each of us have a part in the body of Christ. And God has sovereignly placed you in that part of His body with gifts, with skills, with abilities to minister and serve. And then just in closing of this biblical orientation, if you will, for ministry and for the installation and dedication of those who serve, 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. Why am I using the Word of God first before we are doing what we will be doing? First of all, it glorifies the Lord. Because He is the God of this Word. It's His Word. And He's given us His Word, which is divinely inspired for faith and life in our lives individually, but our lives collectively. And so this passage here speaks to that reality as well. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11, Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Don't you like that? To serve one another. Faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. One translation, I think it's the King James, says, being good stewards of the manifold graces of God. You see, your life is a grace to the church. Did you know that? Your life in Jesus Christ is a gift, is a grace to the church. And along with that gift, that grace to the church, as we labor together for his glory, we encourage and we build one another up in Christ's likeness. Let's go on, though, as we go on here. Verse 11, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised. See, that's where we get the biblical teaching, the truth, that we can worship and praise and glorify God, even in our service. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Through Jesus Christ, to be sure. And so this morning we want to certainly also, before we install and dedicate those who are, some of them are shipping over. That's what we used to call in the service, especially in the Navy. If you you did your first tour of duty, and of course they ask you, are you going to come back again? You going to do it again? And so in the Navy, it was shipping over. What was it in the Army? Anyway, we'll say it's shipping over then. Okay. Well, we have a couple of fellows who are signing up again. The Constitution, of course, and the Word of God enables them to do just that and to serve again a consecutive term of service. But those we want to recognize also this morning and appreciate are those who serve as Gary Kaufman, those who have served and have finished well their course of service. As a deaconess, Mary Kaufman, and deaconess also Betty Wagaman, we want to thank you, brother and sisters, for your faithful service and your ministry of integrity to the body of Christ here. It's to glorify God. Amen? So thank you for your service. Thank you for your ministry. For God is not unjust, the word of God tells us. He will not forget your work and your love, the love that you have shown for his name when you serve the saints and you continue to serve them. But now this morning we'd like to have that installation part of our worship, installing those whom God has called and enabled, and as they begin, some a continuation of their service, like Bob Ammons. Bob, would you come forward? Bob is continuing a consecutive term of service as our elder, one of our elders. We also have Sam Sox. Sam, are you here this morning? Sam is continuing also. And we praise the Lord for that. And we have a new deacon coming on board. I know that Steve has served, Steve Kirby. Steve Kirby, are you here? All right. Now, we appreciate these men. We also have a new deaconess, and I know that Dottie has, Dottie Hawk, would you come forward, please? Dottie has served also in the past, and we praise the Lord for her willingness and her servant's heart to serve again. And also Linda Kendall. Linda, would you come? Thank you. And I know that Linda has served also in this capacity. We thank you. We thank the Lord for these brothers and sisters in Christ that are so willing to glorify the Lord through their service to the body of Christ here. And we also have John Rodriguez, who is continuing on as the Sunday school superintendent. Again, John isn't here, but he's down serving the Lord down below. We praise the Lord for that opportunity. The Lord sets our hearts before him as we endeavor to also do that willingly, so that we can be filled with his Holy Spirit and that we can serve him and serve one another in love. Let me share with you again from God's word how God defines leadership and servanthood. Very interesting. Matthew chapter 20. Jesus called the disciples together and he said this. Chapter 20 of Matthew, verse 25 through 28. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you, be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. The example for every one of us is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we thank the Lord for these, our sisters and brothers, and their willingness again to serve and to emulate Jesus Christ, who dwells within them, within the body of Christ here. So would you join with me in prayer as we have this prayer of installation and dedication? And Father God, we want to thank and praise you how clearly you not only define service and ministry as servants of the Lord Most High in your word, but Lord Jesus, you've given us an example in your life, in your incarnation, that you didn't come to be served, but you came to serve and to give your life a ransom for many. And it's in that model that you've given to us of yourself that we enter in with a willing heart and a committed heart to serve. To serve you, Lord Jesus, and to serve the body of Christ, our brothers and sisters. And so, Father, at this time, we want to thank and praise you for Dottie, for Linda. We thank you for Steve. We thank you for Sam. Father, we thank you for Bob. We thank you for John also, who's unable to be here because of ministry elsewhere. We thank you, Father, for these, and we just, Lord, pray for your Holy Spirit to fill them with the fullness of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that every endeavor and every ministry and service that they have unto you and within the body of Christ and outside of the body of Christ will truly reflect your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will enlighten their hearts, that they might know the great inheritance that they share in the Lord Jesus Christ within the body of Christ, but also the enablement that you give them to serve. Lord, we pray too that you will protect them, protect their families. We realize that Satan is actively at work as our adversary, our enemy, like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And Lord, we realize that any act of service is an attack upon his kingdom. And we praise your holy name that is a successful attack upon his kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, because the church will prevail. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll protect these, our brothers and sisters in Christ, for the work of the ministry, and that you will magnify your name and life through them, Lord Jesus, and help us as a church family to pray for them regularly, consistently. Help us to encourage them, Father. And help us to, Lord, also minister to them as they also, by your grace, minister to us. And Father, we pray that all of this will redound to your glory and the exaltation of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, who is also the head of his church here in South Mountain. And so, Lord, bless, we pray. May you be glorified in all of the service and ministries and outreach through the lives of these, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And of all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you, my brother. God bless you. Bless you. God bless you, Daddy. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. We want to thank the Lord. We also need to announce that we have a new members class that has started already. We just got into the introduction, just the beginning. So there's still plenty of time. If you've been praying about and thinking about becoming a member of the local body of assembly here, of believers, in a formal way, please see me after the service. And we'll be sure to give you a new members handbook as well as an application form. And our next class will be in my office next Sunday at 9:30. So if you desire to be a member and you would like to take that step, please see me afterwards, okay? We'd love to discuss that. And again, if there's someone here who would love to be baptized and desires to be baptized as a born-again believer, please see me, and we can arrange to have that as part of our celebration of worship on August 28th. Well, we praise the Lord. You know, we've been going through the book of Ruth, and we praise the Lord that in many ways the Lord shows us through pictures, through prophecies, through promises, through types, various analogies throughout the Word of God, a picture of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we saw that in the book of Ruth. We saw that whole grace of redemption at work in the drama of lives, the drama in the life, if you will, of Naomi, and how she was redeemed by her kinsman redeemer. And we also saw that in the book, in the life of Ruth, a Moabitess, not a Jewess, not one of you, if you will, a children of Abraham, and yet God's grace enfolded her into his covenant, into his relationship, so much so that she's also part of the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ, as you read in the book of Matthew. And so we see many, many examples of God's redeeming grace, but also Boaz. Oh, what a man, Boaz, who was faithful. Not presumptuous, not proud, but in a very humble way, fulfilling what God had providentially worked out in his life and giving him that opportunity to be the kinsman redeemer for Naomi and especially for Ruth. And so we tonight, you and I are going to celebrate the reality, the blessing, and the grace of our kinsman redeemer at the table of the Lord. Aren't you glad? Yeah. We can do that with freedom, with not only openness of doors and this place of worship, but openness of our hearts before him. So I invite you, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, join us this evening as we worship and we celebrate our kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ, and all that he has done to redeem us through his sacrifice and his resurrection, his victory over sin, over death, and over Satan. Would you join with me in prayer? Father God, we want to thank you again for just the message of your grace at work in China, through your servant Joyce. Lord, we thank you for her and your great faithfulness to her and through her. And Lord, your grace that has enabled her to be a faithful servant of yours, and how she has served as a woman of integrity, a godly woman. And Lord, bless her, we pray. Fill her with your Holy Spirit. Bless the team that she's a part of. And Lord, just make them so much stronger in your grace. And Lord, as they see the power of God through the gospel in their own lives, and the gospel as they share with those who are yet to believe in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we want to thank you too that as a church family, you've given us a privilege. And what a privilege it is to make known the gospel of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, with households of people here on this mountain, as well as the surrounding communities. Father, we thank you for the Friday fun nights. We thank you for the Soak South Mountain. We thank you for the Vacation Bible School ministry that's coming up. Oh, Father, we thank you, too, for the Flood Philly ministry outreach and mission of the gospel to Philly. Lord, thank you for the young men and women that, Lord, you graciously and wonderfully, powerfully formed as teams of gospel teams. And, Lord, how you touch lives through them. Thank you for each and every one of them and for their leaders as they labor together as a team of the gospel. And so, Lord, we pray that all of these opportunities that each and every one of us, individually and collectively as a church family, will seize, that we will redeem the time that you've given us. For we know that the days are short. Your return is near. So, Lord, enable us by your grace to work while it is still light, that others would come to believe and receive you, Lord Jesus, as their Savior. For these things, Lord Jesus, we thank you. In your blessed name, amen.